Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that it is in Christ alone that our hope is found. And Father, this morning as we open your word, as we look into your word, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be pleasing in your sight. Use your words to speak to our hearts this morning. It's in your son's precious name. Amen. If you watch TV for any length of time, you realize that health has become a big issue. I don't know how many commercials are on TV now, and it seems to be that there are more commercials now about medication on TV than ever before. And I don't know about you, but as you watch those commercials, what starts to happen? Well, I've got that symptom, and I've got that, and I've got that one too. I've got 9 out of 10 of whatever those symptoms are. And it seems like we have more diseases now than ever, and they continually are brought before us every day and sometimes many times a day. And so we are very health conscious as a society. There's gyms popping up all over the place. There's the 24-hour fitness. So if you don't have anything to do at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can go and work out. I have a hard enough time in the middle of the day to work out, let alone at 2 o'clock in the morning. But some people do that. But I was interested in one commercial that was on the other day on the radio, and it was for the Cleveland Clinic. I grew up in Cleveland. And so the Cleveland Clinic is, every time I hear that, my ears perk up a little bit. And the Cleveland Clinic has been voted for the past 27 years as the best heart hospital in the world. Now, that's interesting. One hospital that is known specifically for heart health. And so the question this morning is, how is your heart? How is your heart spiritually? We do everything that we possibly can to make sure that this body is working right. And we realize that this is a perishable body. This is one that is not going to be around here forever. But we do everything that we can to feed it and to nurture it and to help it to grow. And do we do the same thing spiritually? Do we do the same thing as we seek to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ? We've just started a study on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And David wanted God's heart. David, as we look at his life, he was more than just a giant slayer. He was more than just that individual who committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. David was a man who had a desire and a passion to walk with God and allow God to do his work in his life. And we see that throughout David's life as he was confronted with sin. As he needed to make a decision, he went to God. And there were times even that as he did something, as he met Saul in the cave and cut off the corner of his garment, and he was touched in his heart because he was so convicted that he had reached out and touched the Lord's anointed. Do we have that kind of heart? And this morning, as we think of David's story, and as we think of David's life, and over the next 10 weeks or so, we're going to be just sort of taking this 2,500-foot view of David's life. I would encourage you to come and be a part of that. Be a part of that study, because David was a man just like us. David was a man who had the same passions, same desires as we have so many times in our lives. But David was a man who was known as a man after God's own heart. He had a passion for God. He had a desire to live for God. And over these next weeks, that is what our primary focus is going to be. How do we develop to be men and women after God's own heart? But this morning, I want to do a little bit of a heart check for us. There's different tests that you could run. There's different things that you could do to find out where your heart is and how strengthened your heart is. I was just watching part of a football game yesterday. I did watch Ohio State, by the way. But I was watching another game, and they were talking to Matt Millen, who was, I think, at Penn State. I think he played for Penn State and then went on to be a professional. And he had something wrong with him. And he couldn't figure out exactly what it was. And he was struggling. And he'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would say everything was fine. And he found out that he had this rare heart condition where only 30% of his heart was functioning, or it was only functioning at 30% capacity. And it's some kind of rare disease. Very few people have it. But he has a heart issue. And there's nothing that he could do about this right now because there hasn't been enough research done and there hasn't been medication developed to help this heart issue. But the reality is as we check our hearts as believers in Jesus Christ, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, we need to do these heart checks. We need to find out how effective our heart is working as far as our relationship with God is concerned. And so this morning, I want to give us four things. I want to look at four things quickly as we think about our heart. First of all, David says this in Psalm 51, verse 20. He's talking about a clean heart. Psalm 51, verse 10, excuse me, not 20. David says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David is in this situation in Psalm 51, also in Psalm 32, where he is confronted about his sin with Bathsheba. Now, David was a man who was anointed by God to be king over Israel. But the situation isn't any different for any of us. There comes this point as David is being confronted about his sin. He says, "I am guilty of my sin. There's nothing that I can do to rectify this relationship with God other than come before him, lay myself before God and say, God, I have sinned against you, and God, create in me a clean heart." Now that goes for all of us. Scripture tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved, or you will have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we examine our hearts and as we look at our hearts, has there been that time when you have said, "I am a sinner, I am lost, I need a Savior, and I am putting my faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross"? And that's where it all starts. For me to be a follower of God, I need to have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God only happens as I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so as I submit myself to Christ, as I lay myself before him, I pray, "God, create in me a clean heart." Now, whether that's initially when I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, or daily as I recognize the sinfulness of my heart, because we're all sinful, aren't we? We all struggle in those areas. And daily I need to come before God and say, "God, create in me a clean heart." 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins Wow, that one just created me, no. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, sorry. But we have a faithful God, don't we? Who's ready to cleanse us from any sin. You think of David committing adultery, committing murder, and he comes before God and he says, God, create in me a clean heart, O God. And David is recognized as a man after God's own heart. Why? Because God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, so that the wrath of God isn't poured out on us because of our sins. As Jesus hung on that cross 2,000 years ago, the sins of the whole world were placed on his shoulders. And he took the weight of sin. He took the wrath of God so that we might have a relationship with God. Psalm 51, verse 7 says, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, though my sins are like scarlet, you'll wash me as white as snow. Think of that. And I don't have to pay the price for my sin. I used to have a lead foot. And every once in a while, I'd get stopped. You know, and you realize that I have sinned, and now I have to pay the price for that. It was usually a pretty stiff fine when those things would come. And what I would do is I would write out the check, and I would send that in, or usually I was at that point that I didn't have to go to court. But, I would write the check, send it in, and say, okay, that offense has been taken care of. And you know what? The next time it happens, I got to write another check, and the offense is taken care of. The amazing thing about our relationship with Jesus Christ is that someone else paid the price for my offense. He paid the price for your offense. And it is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that we now have this intimate personal relationship with the Holy God. And we could cry out to him, create in me a clean heart. And that you forgive us of all of our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are separated from God, but by faith. For by grace, not getting what we deserve. And that's grace, isn't it? What is that grace that God has given us? Because of our sin, we are bound for eternal separation from God. We're bound for hell. But it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't boast in my relationship with God. It is me putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you cried out to God, create in me a clean heart? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, when was the last time you came before God and you laid at his feet and said, create in me a clean heart, O God. God can forgive anything. There is nothing that you could do that God won't forgive. So it starts off with a clean heart. The second thing that we have is found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God is talking to the nation of Israel. He's going to give us a new heart. We pray for a new heart. I love this verse because it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And it goes on to say that I will remove this heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Think about that. How often Have our hearts been hardened to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives to convict us of sin, to draw us into a deeper relationship with God? What has hardened our heart? What has taken us to that point? And are we crying out, God, give us a new heart? It is speaking to the nation of Israel. By the time Ezekiel's time came along, the nation of Israel have hardened their heart to God. God had left the house. And the nation of Israel was going through the motions of their religion. They were extremely religious. But their hearts were hardened toward God. They wouldn't heed the truth. The nation of Israel was being decimated by their enemies because of their sin. And their hearts were hardened. They wouldn't turn back to God. They continued to live the way they chose to live. They were God's chosen people. They were the ones who were to communicate the love of God to the world. And their hearts had become hardened. Sometimes our hearts get hardened, don't they? Maybe unconfessed sin. It may be just a lack of passion. It may just be a lack of apathy, or a lot of apathy in our lives. We have people around us who don't know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we just don't share. We don't communicate the hope that is within us. And we've just become hardened to growth and development in our walk with Christ. Oh, God is ready and willing to give us a new heart. As we saw last week when we were talking about Saul, Saul is going to be anointed king. Saul is going to be the king of Israel. And as we were reading in 1 Samuel, we recognize the fact that God gave Saul a new heart. Saul needed a new heart because the way he was going wasn't going to be the type of individual that God wanted as king of Israel. Now his heart turned later on. But as we look at David, as he is anointed king, he is given that new heart. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he is motivated and driven by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. When was the last time? When was the last time we have been broken because of our sin, and we've broken up that fallow ground as we read in Hosea? Are we given to a heart of stone where it should be a heart of flesh? How is your heart this morning? How is your heart in relationship to your Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ? So we pray, God, create in me a clean heart. We cry out, give me a new heart, God. Take away this heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. Give me the passion and desires for you that I need to have. Give me a passion and a desire for others to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Wake me up out of the apathy of my Christian life and just going through the motions. And so many of you are inviting people, and so many of you are talking to people and sharing your faith. But if you're not passionate about sharing your faith, pray that God would give you this heart of flesh. That you would be ready and willing to share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we pray, create in me a clean heart. God, give me a new heart. Take out this heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. The third thing is a true heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh God, give us a true heart. What is the author of Hebrews talking about? He's talking about a pure heart. One that is following after God. One that is just tracking with God and allowing Him to do His work in our lives. And we could have full assurance that as we pray something like that, that God is going to give us that kind of heart. He's going to give us one that is just wide open to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about drawing near to God, a heart that is seeking after Him, this true heart with full assurance of our faith. The Christian life is growth, isn't it? The Christian life is developing. If you walk down to the nursery today and you saw some of the babies that were there in the nursery and you went back 4 years later and you saw the same babies in the nursery, you would think there's something wrong here. There hasn't been any development. There hasn't been any maturing. And as we look at our Christian life, there is this need to mature and to grow. And as we even think of our mission statement, we want to be a flourishing family that's glorifying God, that is abiding in the Word, in the love of Christ, nourishing one another with the Word, and bearing good fruit in the world. That's a true heart. Because I want God to be at work in me. I want to draw near to Him because as I draw near to Him, He draws near to me. Oh, that God would do His work in all of our hearts. That He would give us a true heart. The last thing that we see is that of a trusting heart. A trusting heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, familiar verse for many of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He's going to direct your paths. Do I trust God with my life? Do I trust God with all of my heart? Do I trust Him to lead me and to guide me and to take me down the right path so that I might be everything that I can possibly be for Him? That God is doing His work in me. I just want to release myself to Him. So often we want to hold on to our lives, don't we? We want to make sure that I've got control of my life. I want to make sure that, you know, I've got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed and I know where my life's going to go from here to there. But the reality is life changes in a moment. Life changes in a minute. And my prayer is that God would allow us to release ourselves to trust Him for everything that we could possibly need. I think all of us have experienced those moments in our life where we think we're tracking exactly where I want my life to go. Here is the trajectory of my life. Here is the path that I want my life to follow. And then all of a sudden something comes, a job loss, a loss of a loved one. Something else that happens that just puts a monkey wrench into the path that I am walking, health, whatever it might be. But am I trusting God from this moment forward? Am I trusting God that He knows what's best? Am I trusting God that He is going to direct my path, that He is going to lead me in a way that is right and perfect? Is my heart trusting? And some of you have been burned by people. Some of you have gone through life and life hasn't been good. And you don't trust anybody. Because this is what's gone on in my life. You don't know what's happened to me and I can't trust anybody. I can't trust God. But the reality is we could trust God for everything. God is unchanging. God is not fickle in His relationships. And as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I am able to say, I trust You, God, with my life, even though I don't understand what's going on. All of us have had those times in our lives when we wonder, why, God? Why now? Why did you do this? As we read through the book of Job, we realize that Job went through those questions. And it's not wrong to ask those questions. It's to whom you're seeking the answer from, and that being an almighty God who is sovereign over all things, who has every bit of our lives in his hands. And he's saying, friend, child, just rest in me. Just trust me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm here with you. I'm going to walk with you through this difficulty. And he is there to lead us all the way. So this morning, how is your heart? How is your heart? Maybe this morning you need to say, God, create in me a clean heart. Maybe this morning there are things that you need to confess to God and say, God, I'm a follower of you, but there, my life is messed up. I've got some junk in my life that I just need to turn over to you and I need to release to you. And God, create in me a clean heart. Maybe this morning you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this morning you want to come and say, God, I want you to cleanse my heart of all unrighteousness. Maybe you need a new heart. Maybe this morning you need to say, God, you know what? I've become hardened a little bit. You know, the things of life, and there's just so much going on, and my heart has been hardened. And God, give me that heart of flesh. Give me that new heart that'll beat for you. Give me that heart that is just going to just ooze your love and your grace to others around me. Or maybe you need a true heart. God, I want to draw near to you so you draw near to me. I want to continue to grow in my relationship with you. I've told you of a professor that I had when I was in Bible college. And I remember him standing up. He's been teaching for 100 years, it seemed like. But he stood up the first day of class and he said, the more I study the Bible, the more I realize how much I don't know. Oh, that we might have a true heart that's drawing near to God, that we are just learning and growing in our relationship with Christ, that we are learning and growing with other brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we might have this true heart that is drawing near to God. And I want to have a trusting heart. I want to trust God with my life because he knows the beginning from the end. He is the sovereign God in control of all things. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know if your need is to come and say, Pastor Tom, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I'll be down here in the front. Maybe you're a believer and you're saying, you know what, my heart isn't right now. And this morning was a spiritual gut check for me. And there are some things that I need to take care of in my heart and in my life so that I might reflect the image of Christ more than I ever have. And you're going to come this morning, you're going to say, please pray for me. You don't need to share with me what it is. Just pray for me. We have a body here. We are family. And we want to be praying for one another. And as you come, you'll know that people are going to be praying for you, that God would do his work in your life. But my prayer is that we don't walk out of here today without doing business with God this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the challenge of your word. And Father, you know the needs of each of our hearts. You know how our heart is this morning. And Father, whatever work you need to do, whatever cleaning out you need to do, whatever needs to happen so that I might have a heart that is passionate after you, as David wrote in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, Father, my soul pants after you. I pray that I might have that kind of heart that just pants to know God in a deeper, truer way. Father, thank you for this morning. Work in our hearts. Father, I pray that we might be honest, that we just might release ourselves to you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.